We open our Bibles together tonight to God's Word in Acts chapter 10, in connection with the program after the service on our work in India. We'll be looking at verse 36 of this chapter. I'd like to begin to read in Acts 10 at verse 24. The children, you'll remember that in this chapter, God has appeared to Simon Peter while he's in the house of Simon the tanner with a sheet of unclean animals that Israel was not allowed to eat in the Old Testament. A vision of a sheet of animals lowered to him and saying, "Peter, arise, kill and eat." God was teaching him that the gospel must now go to the Gentiles. At the same time, you remember, there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion, who lived in Caesarea. And an angel had appeared to him and told him, "You need to send to Joppa for one who is called Peter, and he will come and he will teach you the way of life." We begin then to read at verse 24. So the messengers from Caesarea, from Cornelius, have arrived, and Peter waits for the morning with certain of his brothers to leave with them. Verse 24, "And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up. I myself also am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, 'Ye know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me,'" and that's the vision of the unclean animals, "'God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me?' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness, and through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. The text will be verse 36, these words of Peter, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Georgetown, Christ has given to us the calling and the privilege to preach the gospel. We know from the Scripture that it is through the preaching of the gospel by which God will gather His church out of all nations and bring His people to Himself and bestow the peace of salvation. I'm not now going to lay before you passages of Holy Scripture to convince you that Christ has given to us that great task. I trust that you are convicted and convinced of that from Scripture. But these two points, in connection with that calling that Christ has given to us as His church. The first point is this. When we experience personally the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of grace in our lives, and when we have been given to know the peace, which is the remission and the forgiveness of all of our sins in Jesus' blood, when we know that, then we will have a sustained zeal for missions. Dead orthodoxy cannot be motivated to do missions. Dead orthodoxy cannot be motivated to do anything. Dead orthodoxy cannot be motivated to involvement in the things of the kingdom of God. Spiritual complacency is willing just to sit. But those who have the power of that gospel experientially in their heart and soul, they will speak like Peter. Acts 4:20, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We must. We want to. Is that true of you, of me, of us? The second thing, the means that God uses to build the glorious church, the means that God uses to bring the peace of salvation to sinners chosen merely of grace, the means whereby God will even call the whole world to judgment in the last day, the means whereby God will bring this world to a conclusion is through the preaching of Christ and His gospel throughout the nations. Cornelius would not have been saved if no man came to him to preach the gospel. None will be saved today without the means of the proclamation of the gospel. God has willed that He will save through the word of His Son. It pleases God for the church. We are His bride. God is pleased for His bride to open her mouth and to speak the word that God has sent for the purpose of gathering His church and bringing the end. In Article 3 of the Canons of Dort, first head of doctrine on divine predestination, Article 3, speaking of divine predestination, we read, "And that men may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends the messengers of these most joyful tidings to whom He will, and at what time He pleases, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ." In this chapter, Acts chapter 10, there is a metamorphosis in the thinking of the church and in the thinking of Peter. Metamorphosis, think children of a caterpillar who changes into his cocoon and then into the butterfly, the metamorphosis, how that develops to a butterfly. There is development in this chapter in the thinking of the Church of Jesus Christ concerning God's purpose with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout this chapter, God has been teaching Peter that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews, and that the church that Christ would redeem would be a church chosen out of all nations. So that when Peter enters Cornelius' house, he is actually preaching the gospel to a Gentile congregation. And he acknowledges the truth that God has been teaching him. Verse 34, he says, "Of a truth, I perceive," that is, Peter caught on, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." We must understand this too. We must not think that there are certain people, for cultural reasons, or for social reasons, or for color, or for economic status, that would be a likely target of the gospel. And that there are other persons who really are too low or too ignorant or too backward or too whatever, that the gospel is really not for them. Certainly we sinners, we who know ourselves as the lowest of the low, and God saved us, we must say that God is no respecter. God does not judge according to human standards. But we must use the opportunities that God gives us to preach the gospel and to witness in our own lives. Our text then is the beginning of Peter's sermon in Cornelius' house. And in our text we have the heart of the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the good news of salvation that God has freely given for those who are guilty and hell-deserving sinners, such as we are, and for those whom the Father hath given to the Son in the counsel of His gracious election. The gospel is not for those who deserve it. The gospel is not for those who can earn it. The gospel is not for those who are worthy of it. It is God's saving word which tells us of what God has done to save. It does not tell us of what we have done. It does not tell us of what we can do for salvation, but it tells us what God has done for salvation. William Tyndale, when he was translating the Bible into the English language, sought to find a word to express the Greek word that is translated gospel, euangelio, and he translated it glad tidings. The gospel is glad tidings of what God has done of bringing us to peace with Him through the remission of our sins. So let's consider for a few moments tonight preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And we'll follow the text and we'll see, first of all, the sending of the gospel. We'll see, secondly, the essence of the gospel, which is peace. And finally, the authority of the gospel. It comes through Jesus Christ, who Peter says is Lord of all. The gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, is sent of God. Its source is God. We read the word which God sent, and now you'll note in the King James that God is italicized, but it's obviously God, going back to verse 34, God is no respecter of persons, and then two times in verse 35, God is referred to as Him. So the gospel is the word, verse 36, the word which God sent. What that word is, the whole gospel, is more fully explained by Peter in verses 37 through 43. Note verse 37. That word, that is the word that God sent, Peter says, you know about it. And then he explains in those verses what that word or what that gospel is about Jesus Christ, anointed of God, who hung upon a tree, who rose the third day, who is the judge of the living and of the dead, and in whom is to be received the remission of sins. But Peter is saying this word of the gospel is something God Himself sends. God is the author of the gospel. He is the source of the gospel. That is, the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ did not originate with men. The gospel we preach as a church did not come up out of the thinking of men in a certain culture back there in Judea as they evolved it themselves. But the gospel is not of man. It comes from God. Galatians 1:11 and 12, Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, I testify to you, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, we read that the gospel is the gospel of God. The gospel of salvation, the way of redemption, the forgiveness of our sins in which we find ourselves, as we find ourselves under the wrath of God, unable to save ourselves, and God gives His Son all of grace. Through His sinless life, we are made righteous and forgiven, and His righteousness is credited to me. This word, this gospel, is all from God. It is not of man's origin. It is God's design. That means that the gospel is not a word among other words in this world. It's not as if the gospel is a way of salvation equal to other words and other attempts of salvation or whatever other religions. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the word God sent. No church created it. No denomination coined it. No theologian dreamed it up. No human mind evolved it. It came from the mind of God. The gospel we preach has come from the mind and the heart of God. It originated in God's heart in all eternity. And it is God who has sent it into this world. It has come down from heaven unto us as the good news, the best news that can be heard on the earth. It is God's wisdom. It is God's plan. Nothing of human wisdom, nothing of man mingled with it. The source of the gospel is God. The word which God sent. He's its architect. Hear him. Hear him. In the gospel, God speaks. God sent the gospel, says Peter, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Now we see from this chapter, and we see from the whole book of Acts, that Peter's fuller answer would have been, it's the word that God sends to all nations, to every tribe, for the gathering of his people out of the earth. Both Jew and Gentile. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So Peter's words, when he speaks here, that God sent it unto the children of Israel, mean that God sent it to the children of Israel first and foremost. And then that God would also send that gospel upon the rejection of it by the Jews to the Gentiles. For Peter, when he says these words, God sent the gospel to the children of Israel, at that moment he's standing in a Gentile house with all of Cornelius' Gentile friends. And so Peter's words mean, at Romans 1, 16 and 17, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But note that although that is true, that the gospel is first and foremost to the sons of Israel, and it is to them, because God had promised it to them, and they needed that gospel. God had promised it already in Genesis 3, verse 15, when God spoke that he would raise up a seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head, that although that gospel was to go first to the children of Israel, Israel as a nation, had become self-righteous. Christ crucified offended them. They did not consider themselves to be as others, that is, as sinners. And as a nation, though God would gather the elect out of the Jews at that time, as a nation, they would reject that gospel. If you turn in your Bible one page over to Acts chapter 13, where you have the apostle Paul and Barnabas, verses 45 and 46, in Acts chapter 13, you have Paul and Barnabas preaching in Antioch for two Sundays. And we read in verse 45 of Acts 13, after two Sundays of preaching the gospel, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you Jews, to the nation of Israel. That was necessary. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, although that is true, that the meaning here is it's the word that God sent first to the children of Israel, and then upon their rejection it will go to the Gentiles, we should glean something from that in addition, and that is that the gospel goes also to those who outwardly appear religious and moral. To the sons of Israel, you mentioned them first. Well, aren't they religious? Don't they have the law? Shouldn't the gospel go first to those who are in darkness, to those who are living those wicked lives of perverse sin and unbelief? But does the gospel necessarily have to go to those who are outwardly decent and respectable and in the eyes of society good? To the sons of Israel? Aren't they, as a group, moral and religious? Don't they have Abraham and Moses and the temple and David? Aren't they focused? Aren't they people who acknowledge God? Why send it to them? The answer is, though the sons of Israel were outwardly religious and moral, they were just as unrighteous, just as lost, just as proud, just as evil as another. Even those outwardly in the world who would be considered decent, good people, unless they are saved by grace and born again by grace, unless they have the gospel, they will be lost. Those in Western Michigan, where religion and churches are almost on every corner, and where life is not like other places, perhaps on the other side of this state. Yes, to them, to us, must come the gospel of grace. We need the gospel. All outward religion does not save us. All outward morality, all knowledge in the head, though that's very important, all being blessed to live in a community, outwardly upstanding, does us nothing. We are sinners, miserable and naked. We must have the gospel. God must preach the gospel to us. Note with me that it is not only God who sends the gospel, but that God is the preacher of the gospel. Read the text again. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace. Who's the preacher? Well, the preacher here is God. The preacher is the one who sent the gospel. The preacher is the source of the gospel. It's none other than God Himself. So we may say that God is the preacher of the gospel with a capital P. As the word of the gospel, the preacher himself, or the person witnessing of the truth, is secondary. It is always God who by His Holy Spirit brings that word being spoken and speaks it in the heart and the soul unto salvation. When the word of God comes to us, unto salvation, it is because God is preaching it. It is because God who is speaking it to the gospel. It was God who was speaking through Peter into the heart of a man who he had touched, so that Cornelius was brought to believe and love and trust the gospel. It was God who was speaking through the words of Peter. Peter's voice was secondary. It was God who spoke. The Apostle Paul explains it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 13, we read this: "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," so Paul preached and they heard what he said, "we thank God that when ye received the word which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which works effectually, powerfully, in you that believe." Now that's the way it must be for you and me as well. In the preaching of the gospel, God has given His word to be preached by one who is sent from the church. But it must be for us in that preaching that it is God. It is God who must speak to our hearts through that preaching of the gospel. God has given to His church the preaching of the gospel, the chief means of grace, the bubbling fountain of the Word of God. But to be blessed by that fountain, it must be God. You must hear God by His Spirit through the gospel convicting you and bringing you personally to faith in Christ Jesus. The same thing is true when we speak the Word of God to others. It must be God who is speaking through you as a parent when you talk to your children. You teach your little boys and girls and their family devotions. Do that. Be encouraged to do that. You must do that. And then explain to them the Bible and explain to them the Bible stories and read to them from your Bible story book so that your children may be able to say that from a little child they have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise to salvation. But it must be God who is speaking through you into their hearts. It must be God who is speaking through the words that we speak to each other when we comfort each other, when we bring the Word of God to each other, when we encourage one another. It must be God who is speaking when the elders come in their family visits into our home, and these elders open the Word of God in their office, and they read it, and they begin to talk to you about those Scriptures. It must be God. It's God speaking to us through that Word. It is God. It is God speaking through you. When you give a faithful witness of the truth of God's Word in the workplace, it is God who sends the gospel, and it is God who speaks the gospel. The essence of that gospel, we are told, is peace. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That's a wonderful summary of the whole cross of Jesus Christ. The gospel preaches to us peace. Peace with God. Peace before God's face, with all the guilt of my sin forgiven. And I am made right with Him, and I am reconciled, and I receive the remission of sins. The gospel brings peace, the only peace. Peace with God and the forgiveness of my sins. Colossians 1 verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself," Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the essence of the gospel is peace. Peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. That obviously means that without this gospel, we are at war. We are in a state of war with God. Mankind is at war with God. Mankind in his heart, by depraved nature, hates God. This is our problem. Our problem is that we by nature are at war with God through our disobedience, through our rebellion, through our enmity against God. And God is at war with us, for his wrath is kindled and burns against our sin. And so Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that you and I were children of wrath, deserving of wrath, even as others. But it is through the death of Jesus Christ in our place and in the place of all given to him of the Father, it is through that death that we have peace with God, for he has washed away our sins. His cross has appeased the wrath of God. It has extinguished the wrath of God. It has swallowed that wrath of God, so that now there is no condemnation for us in Jesus Christ. And now God looks upon us in Jesus Christ tonight. Even though that sinful nature remains in us and we continue to sin and we fight against that sin by His grace, nevertheless, the word of the gospel is we are at peace with God. We are reconciled to God through the blood of His Son. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a social peace. The Christian church on earth is not out to make the world a nicer place for everybody to get along so that we can all be more happy and agreeable throughout the world and then, when we die, go to hell. That's not the gospel. That's not the calling of the church. The calling of the church is to preach peace before God, which is the only peace that matters. That my sins are forgiven me, that I am delivered. And if I am at peace with God, then all things are well with my soul. The essence of the gospel is peace with God. Do you have that peace? Do you have the essence of the gospel in your heart, which is peace? I'm not asking you if you have the gospel in your mind. That's very important. I'm not asking you about your outward life and what others see. I'm asking about your heart. In your heart, do you know the smile of God? By grace alone, through your Savior, given to you, solely of grace. So that at the conclusion of the service, these words, the Lord lifts up His countenance upon you and gives you peace. That you live in the sunshine of His love. And you know that you have been made by grace a recipient of His mercy. And that you are brought to Him in an enduring love of God. And that cross of Calvary was given for you and for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you may come boldly to the throne of grace. You may be assured that you will be accepted of God and never cast away through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know the essence of the gospel? I'm not asking again if you know, and that's important, in your mind about the gospel and nod to the gospel and can defend the gospel and believe the gospel of grace, convicted of it. I'm asking you, is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ yours? Peace with God in the forgiveness of all your sins. Then you will forgive others. You will. And then you will forgive yourself. Do you say tonight, even though outwardly, you know all of many articles of the faith, do you say within your conscience, I can't be forgiven? What I did has doomed my life, my children. Do you believe that you have to pay? Do you think that if only you and I could be good enough, if only we could be good enough, then we could be sure, then we could have peace. If only we could scrub somehow ourselves clean. Stop. Stop. You must hear the gospel. He is our peace. No work that you can do will make you right with God. It is given freely, freely. Through Jesus Christ, we are accepted in Jesus Christ. We are reconciled. And being reconciled, we stand as a thankful Christian to obey Him and to do whatever He calls us to do. That's the essence of the gospel. Peace. With God through Jesus Christ. Peter is emphasizing that this gospel comes to us in the authority of God, the authority of Christ. Note the last words of the text. The King James deemed it necessary to put that in parentheses as if it was an added thought, but it's really not. It's not tacked on. So let's read the verse. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Peter means to say that this word and this gospel of peace comes through the authority of the enthroned Jesus Christ. Peter means to say that this gospel comes to us through the Son of God, who is very God in flesh, and who has been lifted up and enthroned in all glory, and therefore it comes in the power and in the authority of Christ, and therefore we must submit and we must humble ourselves under His Lordship. To believe in Jesus Christ is not just to believe in the forgiveness of sins, but it is also now to confess that He is Lord of all. And therefore, our entire lives stand in submission to Him. And we no longer seek to rule or run our life. We do not say to Christ, to be saved is not to say, well, Christ and I, we are co-regents. We're in this together. Christ writes the checks, and I live it up. Christ has given me a credit card that He'll pay, and I just charge it on the credit card, my sins, and I just keep on going in my sins. No. He is Lord of all, which means submission, willing, heartfelt submission to Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Peter emphasizes this to Cornelius. Peter is emphasizing to Cornelius that the word of the gospel is that now his life must be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the gospel is preached, the gospel is not preached as an offer that God would want you, but you may take this offer, or foolishly, you may reject this offer, and God has little to say what you will do. The gospel is not an offer. The gospel is an imperative. He is Lord of all. Repent and believe. To refuse the gospel is to live in rebellion to the authority of heaven and earth. He is Lord of all. That gospel comes and calls us by His grace to total and complete submission and surrender of ourselves and our life to Jesus Christ. Is this true of you? Do you know the power of the word that God sends through Jesus Christ, preaching to you peace and calling you to repentance and faith and trust in Him? Do you, when you hear the gospel, hear the voice of God in your heart convicting you, the very word from God, the very message of salvation, so that in your heart you have peace. Peace with God. This then, if that is so, by God's wonderful grace, it is so, then we will have a zeal, a heartfelt zeal, to preach the precious gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the precious gospel. We thank Thee that Thou hast taken our iniquities and placed them upon Christ, that now by grace we bear them no more, and we are at peace with God through Thy Son. Give to us hearts that want this gospel to be preached and to be spread, and give our lives to be an evidence that we have come under the blessed submission of Jesus Christ, that all that we are, by Thy grace, we lay before all that He is. In Jesus' name, Amen.